Right, you ready to go take a trip down memory lane then,
yeah.
pal? Right. You hosted last time, didn't
Yes,
you?
I did.
Okay, so it's my turn this time. Let's hope I don't fuck it up again this time. Right, so yeah, I've got my list up. Got what it's all about. So yeah, for the start, we'll just talk about the Steam Summer Sale and what we picked up. So, all right, so if we're ready, right,
Yeah.
we'll start showing three. Oh, let me just get the camera up as well so I can see. Right, so we're seven. Right, starting in 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to the RMI Fusion podcast, where we sit here and we talk about games, usually. Hi, I'm Tony.
Hi, and I'm Matt.
And I got it right this week. Yay! Well, this fortnight, one of the two, either way. It's very good just to get that right. All right, so what are we here to talk about this week, or this fortnight then, matey?
Oh, just mainly about arcade games and things like that.
Yeah, we're going to take a trip down memory lane for me and Malk, because we're old enough and foggy enough to remember arcade machines, which seem to be a dying breed nowadays at the moment, don't they, mate?
Yeah, there's an arcade that's just opened not so long ago in Southend, though, called Lucky Sevens. And I haven't actually checked it out yet, but I've actually seen about it on the internet and stuff, and it's something I'm going to go another weekend and have a look at myself.
Yeah, wait for me to get some cash as well, mate. I'll come down there and have a look with you.
Yeah, because it does look very good. It's definitely worth checking out if anyone's interested.
Yeah, so if you're in the Essex area, you don't mind travelling down to Southend. It's a nice day out down there anyway, because there's a beach and everything and stuff like that. But if you want to go for your video games, then that's going to be a nice little place to go to.
I wouldn't recommend going to the SeaWorld, though, because it's crap. You can walk around in 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's very true. And it doesn't have any computer games in it.
Well, it does have this thing with what's it? I can't remember what the game's called. It's like some submarine arcade game, right next to where the piranha tank thing is. Where you can stick your head in and look inside at the piranhas that don't seem bothered at all.
No, they don't.
Apparently, they're not as vicious as they make out in movies and that.
No, they do eat meat, and that is a true
it's
thing.
Like
they are
if you're like bleeding and or you like piss them off, they don't instantly go on you as soon as you get in water.
I know.
I was just saying that my mate used to have a tropical piranha like years ago. He had two of them, and one of them decided it'd eat the other one.
He just sat there one day and, you look tasty. And then decided to eat his friend. He's probably sitting there, why have you done this to me? But enough about fish. Right, I don't think there's been any really interesting news stories over this fortnight, so. But what's happened this fortnight was the Steam Summer Sale. I'm freaking bankrupt because of that. I'm glad payday's next week. So you didn't pick anything up. You practically got off the rest of the team, didn't you?
Yeah, I got, what was it I got? Mini Moto Racing Evo, which is really good. I like that.
Yeah, that's a quite flash little racing game, and surprisingly very good looking for a...
Yeah, my mate said it reminded him of Micro Machines.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And there's also the Nitro Boosting, gives you old-fashioned feel of Strongman Racing.
Yeah.
Ivan Stewart's. So, and there's also a lot of nice such feature, you can upgrade your cars, and there's a track editor in there as well.
Yeah, I haven't tried the track editor yet, but it does look really good from what I've seen of it, because that's one of the ones I do actually play with a joypad. And as soon as you go to select track editor with a joypad, it says this function's only available with mouse and keyboard. So that's why I've never done it.
All you do, you just click on it with a mouse and you just take over.
Oh, right, I didn't know that.
The mouse has still got its controls on the system. So you could just sit there and go click, and then it'll just take over on the map, and that's it. So easy that one. What else did you receive?
Arma 2, which has got too many controllers. it looks pretty good and everything. It's just when I go to map the controls, because I've got a rat-free mouse, which has like got 5 buttons, and what's this called? A Razer Nostromo, which is basically like a simplified sort of keyboard thing that's got a D-pad on, and you know just operate it with one hand basically. And it's good for first-person shooters and that, so it's sort of like using a mouse and keyboard. Which
yeah,
I don't
but
need
not
to do.
Reach over.
Yeah, and not having like a million fucking buttons. Well, I know a keyboard hasn't got a million buttons, but you know what I mean? A hell of a lot of buttons, and getting confused, which, cause if you can't touch type and not used to playing games on a keyboard, you know what I mean? So you lose what controls you've got.
Oh, that's true. It just simplifies it down. But barring all the keys, what do you think of Armour?
It is pretty good, but as I say, I've still got to sort it out, so I've got the keys I need. Instead of having to keep pausing it and then changing them, and you know, which just...
Oh, that is very true.
But it's a lot harder than certain games like that, like Call of Duty.
Shh, thou shall not be mentioned.
Because if you get shot, you get killed pretty much instantly, whereas on Call of Duty, you can get shot like about 12 times in the head a lot of times, and it don't really do anything if you duck out of the way and heal yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously, all human beings are capable of doing that in real life, so it's ultra realistic.
Oh yeah, definitely on that one. But no, I think we're gonna have to play that as a team at some point.
Yeah.
And then let's play Toy Soldiers and just see how badly we suck at that game, because I know I do. I played it with Jenny and I was thinking I want one guy lined up and I was like, right, gonna get him, bang. What happened there? And Jenny was just giggling. Like, what did you do? She goes, I just shot you in the back of the head. And I'm like, and the other one you got was Postal 2, which I think I gave you as well.
Yeah,
it?
I haven't really played that much. I've just had a quick go, and it does look good from what I've seen. But as I say, it's because I've got loads of games. That's the thing. People always give me games and that. When I've already, because I already bought Crysis 3, which I really like, and then I bought because it was cheap as well, Far Cry 3, which I'd previously played on the PS3 when it worked, and I really like that as well. And then you lot go and give me a load more games as well, so I haven't really got round to playing them all properly.
It's just more material for the site. Yeah. That's what it is. What we do. Well, I picked up Fez. I picked up the Missing Borderlands DLC that I didn't have. I also got Mini Motor Racing for myself. Picked up The Witcher 2 because I'm playing through the first one at the moment. I'm enjoying that, so might as well get the second one because it's cheap. Counter-Strike Global Offensive, now I've got all of Valve's games again. Rogue Legacy, anybody who likes Castlevania the Symphony of Night, I really do recommend that game. It's a big pixelated version with completely random stuff going on. Look it up, it's definitely worth a look. Ghostmaster, I also pulled off for about 60 pence. That's a very unique game. I think I'm definitely going to have to review that one. Basically, you get houses and you have to scare people out. But all your ghosts all do different things. And then within each house, you'll find secured ghosts and you have to find out certain ways of freeing them. And then you can take them on later in missions as well. So it's a very unique game. Killing Floor, I also picked up. Secret World, Wanderlust, and Blade Kitten. So yeah, I picked up quite a bit. And that's why I'm broke. But no, for anybody, the Steam Summer Sale is ludicrous. The price they are giving games away at is just unreal. Most of the time, everything's virtually 50% off. Unless some people who choose not to put it that way. Well, mind you, tell you the truth, Black Ops 2 was on there at half price. And they still can't get any... I honest to God, don't think anybody bought it.
No,
because I checked their play stats, and they barely got 20,000 people playing now. I'm on Steam now. I will check. Yeah, 18,000 people now playing Black Ops 2. The PC community have given Call of Duty the finger. I really don't see Ghosts doing too well either. So that's all right. But anyway, for all you people who are PC gamers, why are you not on Steam? Seriously, there's now over 5 million users, plenty of people to play with, and games are just ridiculously priced. And there's a winter sale coming up, definitely, so that'll definitely be worth and interesting. So if you're a PC gamer, get on Steam. Trust me, you will not regret it when it comes price-wise. Right, shall we move on then, mate, to topic of discussion?
Yeah.
Sure. Yay, so old-school arcade memories. Right, I'm going to throw you for this one first, mate. You remember your one of your first arcade games that you can remember playing?
Yeah, the first game I ever played, I think, I'm not sure exactly what the year was, but I think I was about six. And it was at the local supermarket from where I come from in a lovely place called Bedworth. A supermarket called the Hypermarket. And it was the really old-fashioned Space Invaders game, arcade cabinet. The one where they put, like, cellophane over the screen to make it look like it's in colour when actually it's black and white. So it changes, like, the colours of the, you know, the aliens as they come
cheap
down.
Tactic.
Yeah. And that was the first game I ever played. And since then, you know, that got me into actually playing games, you know, video games.
I can remember my first one was probably, you know, the big motorised Space Harrier.
Yeah.
I think I was on holiday in Margate with my nan. I think it was Margate on that one. And I remember sitting in that, and then when I was sitting there, and then of course the whole machine is moving as you're going up and down. I mean, Space Harrier is a great game as it is. It's a very simplistic game, but it works so. But when you're in this big machine and you're going up and down, it's like, oh wow, this is awesome, and machines turning as you do it, it's just like, whoa, that's just it makes me wonder if there is actually a working Space Harrier machine like that, one of the big hydraulic ones, still today.
Well, in I think it was 1997 or 98 when we went to it's a place that's after Skegness. I can't think what it's called. Mablethorpe.
Yeah.
They had a working Space Harrier there that was 20p ago. Yeah, the hydraulics worked, everything. And then in the pier on Mablethorpe, they had, which I know is Steve Benway's favourite, the absolute monster of a arcade machine, Galaxy Force 2, which literally is a beast of a cabinet with hydraulics and that. And the hydraulics worked on that as well. I think that was 50p ago, but still, I had like a few goes on that. And then the other arcade there, they had Galaxian 3, which is, it's sort of like, it isn't actually a Laserdisc game, but it's like pre-rendered 3D, and all you control is the target. And the thing is like a room you go in, and it's sort of like set out like Starship Enterprise or something, you know, with all the joysticks for each player, because it's like, I think it's three or four players. But the thing is a beast of a thing, you know, it's huge. And then they also had Ridge Race Full Scale as well, which is like a full-size sports car with like a cinema screen basically in front of it. You know,
oh yeah, I remember seeing that.
Yeah, they had
once.
That as well, but that was £3 ago, so I've never actually played that.
Yeah, and you really need to be good at it to actually appreciate that one.
Yeah.
But when you look back at Space Invaders, do you reckon that game's lost its charm, or do you reckon it's still oozing it?
Well, I'd say out of all the games that I've ever played, that's the one I never play at all. I really don't like it that much. You know, I think it is a good game and that, but it's too simplistic. You know, if I ever go into an arcade or even on MAME or anything, I'll never play that one.
It's one of the ones in the MAME library that gathers dust. But if you just want, I reckon it's still a good test of skills to actually be good at that game nowadays.
Yeah, I'm crafting it as well.
Well, isn't it? Like I say, Space Harrier. They actually released they had a sequel on the Mega Drive, but then they released another one called Planet Harriers in around 2000, which I never saw.
No, I've never seen it. Only you know, videos on YouTube and that, and nothing that emulates it, I don't think, yet.
No, nothing as of yet, so it's all good. What else did I play? When I was walking around this thing, oh, they had a Bubble Bobble machine. What do you reckon on Bubble Bobble?
Well, I could tell you the story about where I first played that and what I think of it. Well, what it was is, near where I went to my secondary school, there was this corner shop, big sort of corner shop off license, sort of, you know, convenience store. And they started getting arcade machines in, and that's the first place I ever played Bubble Bobble. And at the time, I got the conversion on the Commodore 64, which is really good as well. And
yeah, I agree on that. It is good.
I do think it's a good game, yeah. It's not one of my favourite games, but I did used to play it quite a bit at the time.
But from the arcade standpoint, Bubble Bobble was just one that would eat your money. No problems. Especially some of the layouts of the stages, you know, where you've got a bubble jump, bubble jump, bubble jump. But the bad guys are virtually, so you've literally got to be within an inch of a pixel to get it right and not get struck on the way through. So, yeah, Taito was sadistic for that, because that machine just took your money. And then you're just sitting there like, and then if you got all 100 levels done on your own, it says, oh, by the way, we're not showing the ending because you didn't bring a friend along. You're like,
Oh, I've never cleared it. I've never seen anyone complete it on the arcade, neither.
No, I saw some person once. He got to about level 60 odd on a couple of credits, but this guy was good. So that was kudos to him, and I wish I had half the skill he did on that one. But Bubble definitely sticks out for me on that one. They actually had a Super Mario Brothers arcade machine as well.
Yeah.
One that wasn't a Play Choice 10 though.
Yeah, I played that when it first came out in. I'm not sure. I think that may have been Blackpool. It was actually called Versus Super Mario Brothers.
Yes, that was it.
So like I said when I was speaking to Will, that's the first time I ever played it on the arcade. And then after playing it on the arcade, a few years later, they got it in the same shop, that corner shop near my school. And the problem with games there though is because the places get packed out with kids, so you'd never get to get a go on it. Because there'd be so many people queuing up to play them, and that's one of the ones that was really popular, Super Mario Brothers.
Oh yeah, definitely. I was even that one. Well, Mario's always been on a popular port for that one. I just seeing what else springs to mind when I was in. Rolling Thunder is another one that definitely.
Yeah, that's a really good one. Played that in Blackpool as well. Got the Commodore 64 conversion by the extremely good company US Gold, and what all fairness. The very talented team of Tier Techs that made a complete disaster with it. I mean, that's not a good version. Yeah, definitely. It's not a good conversion of that. Apart from, I think the NES one by Tengen is alright. All the Tier Techs ones are total shit. The Commodore 64 one's an absolute joke,
Yeah, the Spectrum one's awful as well, so.
But even the music on the Commodore 64 sounds horrendous. Like, they haven't even finished it. And you'd at least expect them to get the music right on it.
Yeah, especially with the SID chip technology.
Exactly. You watch videos of it, or I think I did a 16 and 8-bit wars on it. I'm not sure. Mm. But yeah, it's horrendous. Absolutely horrendous.
I know. So, yeah, but that was one of the things. It always stuck in mind, because I'd be walking around an arcade, and what you hear is that alien dude laughing. And that's the pull, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the draw.
Because they had that in the corner shop as well. And when I was waiting to play on it, there's some guy who was a lot older than us. I think he must have been, probably about in his 20s or something. And he said, oh, that's Freddy Krueger. And I'm like, no, it's not.
He's green. Kruger's not green. but no. So that was some of the earliest size. That one. I don't remember playing very many of the really early stuff. I played Asteroids. I think it was better. Asteroids, Asteroids. And that was always good fun. I think I played Battlefield as well. The old
Battlezone.
3D. Battlezone. That's it. Battlezone.
I played that in a news agent actually. That's the only game they ever had in there, and then they didn't get any other games afterwards.
Yeah, Wire Stick 3D. Those were the days where you would sit there and was like, wow, this really is 3D. And give me a truth, honestly, it still impresses me even today.
Yeah, what do they call that? Is it Vectors?
I think it's Vector or something like that. But even today, when I look at it and I think it's like, wow, you didn't have nothing back in the day. and then that came up, and then I was like, this is actually pretty good. And like I said, even when I look at it today, it's like, this is still good.
Well, Asteroids sort of uses that same sort of, how it draws graphics. And then Atari done a few, didn't they? Like, they done Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back. Mm-hmm. Oh, what's the other one? No, Return of the Jedi was totally different, weren't it? Return of the Jedi was actually, just proper graphics
that
actually, and
that. Right, that was proper sprite. And the sit-down Star Wars arcade machine. Ah, when you're sitting in that was a big cabinet. That one was.
Yeah, it was. And
and you had that funny controller where you could twist the handles.
Yeah, that's the one that the only thing when you play it on an emulator or with a joypad or anything, that obviously you can't emulate the controller.
Yeah, but you could have had a six-axis joypad.
Yeah, but it's not the same. It's not actually the same as how that works.
Yeah, it's true. It's true because you really had a grip on them, didn't you?
Yeah.
And you can turn it. Yeah, I'll give you that.
A lot of these games, though, with what people don't have them anymore because they've got wrecked or changed into other games. Because speaking of Star Wars, in the same shop where I used to play most of the games as a kid, that's the first time I ever played Nemesis, or it may have been called Gradius because it's the same game. It was actually in the Star Wars cabinet. They'd ripped the controller out and changed the cabinet so it had Nemesis in there.
Oh, that's
a bit tragic, really, considering that game's nowhere near as memorable as Star Wars.
Oh yeah, that's very, very true. What else did I play? Crystal Castles.
Yeah, that's the one with a bear that goes around a maze.
Yeah, and that was a trackball game, that one was.
Yeah, that's alright. I mean, I've played it on the arcade. I wouldn't say it's... I suppose it's considered a classic. It's not one I play that often, but...
I know, with that one, you've really got to play with the trackball, because I played two. I played one with the joystick, and the joystick was like, meh. But the one with the trackball, where you're sitting there, you're running your hand all over the trackball just to get to places, and then it's like the faster you roll it, the quicker you'll leg it up platforms as well. So basically, just how frantic you get, it'll be completely dependent upon how fast your character moves.
I've actually got a trackball on my man cabinet, and while it's really good, and that, especially for games like that, and the other game I used to play a lot with a trackball was Marble Madness.
Oh, Marble Madness is good.
The trackball gets horrendously dirty for no reason. I can't see why it gets as dirty as it does. And you end up getting all black shit all over your hands. And I've took it out and cleaned it loads and loads of times. I've actually boiled the trackball to try and get the shit off it. Like,
bloody hell. That's a bit drastic.
Yeah, and it's because it's a white trackball as well. It looks obviously a lot worse. I'll have to take it out and do it again. And then it sticks as well. I don't know whether this video... Yeah, the noise.
Yeah, because it's just about here. Yeah, that doesn't sound healthy.
No, I don't know what's wrong with it. Because all the actual... bearings and that it sits on and that are fine inside it.
Just need to get around. Oh, if you're talking about trackball, what about Arkanoid?
Well, actually, in all fairness, Arkanoid has got a dial that you
does
twist.
It?
Yes, that you because I played Arkanoid in proper potato cabinet on the arcade years ago, and it's a dial that it's like a little round thing basically. And you twist it left and right, it doesn't actually use a trackball. It's like Operation Wolf doesn't actually use a light gun.
No, it doesn't. It uses a joystick. That's something which Guru Larry pointed out.
Yeah,
wasn't
like, I knew that from years ago because the cabinet, if you look inside the Operation Wolf cabinet, it's actually projecting the image upwards. It's not actually coming from the top, it's projecting it upwards. So the trackball obviously couldn't track it. I mean, the light gun couldn't track it like that.
But what about Operation Wolf as a game? That was one of the very first shooters that I played, and that game was cool.
Yeah, it's a classic. Really was. I played that at a fair. You used to have this like travelling fair that used to come.
The fair was always great.
I used to love the fair. Yeah, that's the only reason I liked it, because most of the rides when you've been on them a couple of times are shit.
Yeah, exactly. I would only go down for the arcade.
Exactly.
That would be the only reason why I go to the fair. Do you want to go on the rides? Nah, screw that. I can't be bothered.
Well, I went on a few of them. Like, some of them, waltzes and that's all right.
Oh, I didn't even bother with that. I was sitting there, it's like, give me my pocket money. I'm going to the arcades. And like, ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. Off we go. But Operation Wolf was definitely standout for me.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. How the gun vibrates, and it's got really good sampled speech for the time. You know, the graphics
the time,
are really good
and
everything.
Yeah, sprite really. One thing I never understood is how did they work out the damage on it? That was one thing I never understood.
I think, to be fair, it pretty much goes down at random.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well, because I'm like sitting there, it's like, how are you damaging me? Why is it... Yeah.
I mean, you can play that with a light gun, you know, on MAME and that, but it's not the same, you know, using like a pistol-shaped gun instead of an Uzi, which is mounted to the bottom of the cabinet, ain't it? And it only moves left, right, and up and down.
You think about it, if you're playing it through MAME using that with the gun, it's more realistic in that sort of term, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you are quite literally playing it on a more modern day sort of thing. Well, let's talk about shooters. What other shooters really stick out?
I'll say one that you don't like, but I believe it's the first of its kind to incorporate reloading. Lethal Enforcers.
Oh, I hate Lethal Enforcers.
I love Lethal Enforcers. I was playing it the other day on my actual, you know, well, I don't play the Glock games on the main cabinet. I've actually got it on my telly. And I was playing it, you know, using my Aimtrex light gun. I was trying to think what the name of the gun was. And my mate, Dean, come in and he had a go on it as well. Because he was like, yeah, this is fucking brilliant. I remember this. And when you restart it on main, it comes up, whoops. Because it can't detect the guns.
Oh, dude. No, I hated Lethal Enforcers. I really, really did. That was just like...
I think it's amusing, like, because it's, like, digitized actors and that, you know, the Konami staff, apparently. And you get, like, about 40 people in one car.
Yeah, and you're just sitting there, it's like, bleh. But mind you, you got the second one as well, which was set in the West, wasn't
it? Yeah, I could tell you the story about that I nearly told when I was on the Retro Asylum podcast. Mm. That was the first time I ever went to Southend. I went with my mate, Dean, you know, my best mate. And we went there because his nan and granddad from his mum's side come from Rayleigh, which is near Southend in Essex, you know. And first arcade we went into, obviously, had Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, because I mean, in most arcades, that's the main thing you'd hear, you know, that Hadouken and the music.
All the music,
off Street Fighter, because obviously Street Fighter was a mega popular game, probably one of the most popular games ever. And, they had Lethal Enforcers too. Gunfighters, and I was like, what the fuck? What's this got to do with the first one?
Yeah, it's doing. If you want a good shooting game, Point Blank.
Point Blank's that, really good, yeah.
Yeah, that game stands up even today.
Yeah.
That game is just amazing. It is just such good fun to play. And you've been with me. You've seen what I'm like when I see a Point Blank machine.
Unfortunately, in Southend they don't work though, do they?
Yeah, I know that the thing was well off on that one, so I weren't doing anything. But there goes, but you also know I'm pretty damn good at it as well. I can also remember time that the PlayStation port for it is really good as well.
Yeah, it's arcade perfect, pretty much.
Yeah.
The only problem with that is, when I had it, I only had one gun con. And the other gun I had was some cheapy one that was like, it was shaped like, it actually looked better than the gun con. It looked like Walther PPK, you know, James Bond's gun. One of them, you know, a small gun. But my mate Rich used to always be, oh, the gun's shit, it don't work. Because he was crap at it, and he couldn't take it, that he couldn't play it. And it blamed the gun. I even beat him when I had that one, and then he had the gun con, he was shit with that as well. But he won't admit that if he's ever does come on a show or in messages or, you know, if he's listening to this, he'll say, oh, no, it's because that gun was crap. No, he was shit with both of them.
I think the best one I was playing it with my mate, and one of the tasks which come through was you all had like one shot and you had to shoot the bottle before it hit the floor.
Yeah.
And my mate was sitting there, so you watch, I'm going about do you this one. As soon as it started, I just went bang, and the guy didn't even drop it. I shot the bottle clean out of his hand. My mate was sitting there like, has you dropped it yet?
Don't he do that with a feather as well?
That's the leaf one.
Oh, it's a leaf.
Yeah, especially that's when you put it on the very hard mode. You're like, what the. And you're just sitting there, so I was like, how am I supposed to hit that? I've actually hit that, and that leaf is freaking tiny.
Yeah, it is.
Especially in insane modes. That's just,
I do really like that. I mean, I'm going to actually play a load of them later. Because the only way you can really play them now, if you've got HD, you know, TV or anything like that, is if you've got Amtrex.
Oh, that's very, very
good. I get paid by them for sponsoring it, because I've done loads of videos. But no, that is literally the only one that actually works.
This podcast is sponsored by Aimtrax. Please buy our light guns. They work. Malk says so. Other shooters.
Titan Crisis, House of the Dead.
House of the Dead, all rigged. I do like House of the
Beast
Dead.
Beastbuster. There's a more odd one.
That was SNK, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
and that's got Uzis as well. Like,
I think they work the same way as Operation
Thunderbolt. Operation Thunderbolt, actually. I didn't say that one. Sequel to Operation Wolf.
Yeah, it was just more Operation Wolf.
My brother didn't like that. He was like, oh, it's over the top with the acting, voice acting and that and everything. But I thought Operation Thunderbolt were better.
Yeah, the only downside to Operation Thunderbolt is it doesn't tell you how much you've got left to kill. In the end, it's just a survival thing. But to make up for it, they did drop more health and more ammunition pickups to keep you going. So it was basically just like an endurance round.
And some of the conversions don't actually have a cursor until you get the laser sight.
Yeah, the Spectrum version's guilty of that.
Commodore 64 one's the same, I think. I think the Amiga one does the same as well.
Yeah, so you like sitting there, you play that game, it's like, huh? What are you at? What about Virtual Cop?
Virtual Cop's pretty good. Don't mind that. I used to have it on the Saturn.
The one thing I liked about Virtual Cop was basically when they appeared, you always knew which one to shoot because they had the little targeting things to how long you got to hit them for kept coming up.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, that works really well. Saying that about light gun games, probably one of the more modern arcade games I've played is Sega's Rambo, and that's got like a full size what's it called? I'm not 100% sure if it's a right gun, but an AK-47, like a fucking huge machine gun.
Yeah.
And it's got a massive screen, and you have to proper aim it off the screen to reload. And the good thing about that is any of the enemies can shoot you, because they'll come on and it'll have a timer timing down before they'll actually shoot you. And obviously the harder ones will shoot you pretty much I'll have hardly any time and shoot you straight away. But yeah, it's really good. That's definitely worth playing.
I'd definitely look in.
They've got that at Southend.
Well, let's say House of Dead, that they had four good games because Overkill was never an arcade release.
No, but that's a pretty good game in itself.
I try to see if I can remember any other shooters, but I think pretty much Namco and Sega had the predominance.
Yeah, I'd say it's out of Time Crisis, the Time Crisis games, and the House of Dead games, which are the best. Saying that though, and you probably won't like these neither, Atari's Area 51. It's got terrible acting and everything. It's got this like black bloke who looks. I always thought it was Mr. T, but it's not actually him. And he comes on and that, and there's like loads of him. And then the only other members of their like SWAT team or whatever that's going into Area 51 to sort out the alien thing is this woman who the only reason they've got her is because she's got big tits.
Yeah, of course it is. It makes men want to go on and carry on, but no, Area 51 wasn't exactly all.
I really like that. I've played that a lot in the arcade, and that's one I play a lot now. Just for the novelty value of how bad it is, like, you know what I mean?
Oh, I got one for you, Silent Scope.
Yeah, I like that.
That was really good.
Never worked on any of the conversions because you haven't got the massive sniper rifle. Yeah.
But the arcade version of that is absolutely fantastic. Just sit there and properly have to, yeah, that's Konami. So you have to properly look down the scope and take a look at what you're doing. So yeah, that was a real spark of genius. I try to think of some other games. Namco did a few others. I think there's one called Vampire Knight.
Yeah, that's a bit crap. There's one by Konami that's a really rare one. I've never actually played it, and I wish I had. It runs on the 3DO hardware, called Evil Knight or Hell Knight, and that's like a blatant rip-off of House of the Dead. There's only one video or two on YouTube of it, but I really wish that worked, and I wish I could have played it years ago. Apparently it's impossible to emulate it as well.
Nah, that's what they all say. That's what they said about a lot
that's
of them.
That's what they said about Street Fighter 3, didn't they?
Yeah, it's now working perfectly.
Yeah.
What was that? Did you ever see the sort of ninja game which actually had the sword?
No, I've never seen that one, I don't think.
Oh, that one was awesome. You literally had a sword, and you actually wave it across the screen to do the slashes. It was a great little game, that was. You're just sitting there, as they're coming at you, you just swing the sword side to side.
Yeah.
And it would do the slashes across the screen.
That sounds really good.
It was a fun little game, that was. If I could ever see that one again, that's just immense to play.
That's
that
the thing is. About the arcades. I mean, you go into them and you wouldn't know what to expect.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I do think nowadays, now the arcades are pretty much dead, and, you know, it's just games on PC and a handful of arcade games, you know, hardly any. Mainly, you know, the bigger companies like Sega, Capcom. I don't know whether Konami still make them. EA, believe it or not, have done a few of the Need for Speeds and... Fast and the Furious. Oh God, what a load of bollocks that is. The film Hammer Gang.
Yeah, apparently that's been dumped now, so that might be working on some emulator sooner or later.
No, they dump it in the bin as far as I'm concerned.
Racing games, Daytona.
Ridge Racer. Yeah, Daytona or Ridge Racer.
Daytona. Yeah.
Well, Ridge Racer 2, to be fair, the one that's linked up, I played more.
Yeah, but those games were great, especially if you've got your mates.
Yeah.
They were just immense. Sega Rally as well.
Outrun.
Yeah, the very first Outrun. So
I'm not sure whether it was that or Space Harrier that was the first game I played with a hydraulic cabinet. I know Afterburner come later. Sega done it with quite a few games.
Yeah, I try to think of any other good racing games. That Mario Kart one Namco did was pretty good.
Yeah,
as well.
I like that. I've played that. You can actually emulate that, can't you?
Yep, that can be emulated now as well. So, and surprisingly, the ROM file size are pretty small.
Yeah.
But no, if you wanted a bit of mobile on the go Mario Karting, then if you just can't wait to get able to get your fix, then that's definitely a good one to play. But the Need for Speed and the other one, the Fast and Furious, I just find them just capitalising on the license to make a shitty racing game.
I think the one that impressed me the most out of any, which can be emulated as well now, is Sega Scud Race. Which come out in, I think, 98 or 99, and the graphics, I think, still hold up pretty well, you know, to this day.
Yeah, a lot of them do. That's the main thing about it. They do hold
that's
really
Model
well.
3, like I think, Model 3 hardware.
Daytona still holds today, even though it looks absolutely crap.
Well, it looks better on the, you know, your 360 one or PS3 one, because they've sort of cleaned it up a bit.
Oh, I'm so annoyed they didn't do a PC release.
Yeah, they should have done, really. I'm annoyed.
They really should.
That's another reason why I wouldn't get rid of the 360 as well.
Well, just for Daytona.
Yeah, because Daytona's, I'd say that's one of my favourite racing games.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the best. One of the ones I used to like, which I used to play with my mates, was one called Club GTI by Konami.
Yeah, the one with the minis. That's on the PS3.
That's on the PS3?
Yeah,
oh,
that was
nice.
On there years ago, when I originally had the PS3. I didn't download it. I downloaded the demo, and the problem with the PS3 is the steering wheel for that, the really good one, is mega expensive. I think it's a Logitech or something.
Logitech,
and
yeah.
It's the one with the one for Gran Turismo with a gear stick, and it's same as like what my 360 one is. It's got force feedback, so the wheel will centre itself, and if you take your hands off it, the wheel will actually spin round and stuff. It is a really good steering wheel, but really expensive. That's why I never got one for the PS3. And if you use the 6-axis, which I think is, I mean, to be fair, a bag of shit, like. That's basically what Sony thought. Oh, well, Nintendo got the thing with the Wii. Well, let's put this on the controller, even though it doesn't really work properly.
Yeah. And then they made the PlayStation Move.
Yeah. The Move's probably all right. I mean, I've never used one, to be fair. But that 6-axis, when I played Ridge Racer and when I tried playing that Club GTI with a 6-axis on the PS3 controller, it doesn't work. It's crap. It's a complete waste of time.
I'm trying to think what else. Did you ever play Thrill Drive by Konami?
No, I've heard of it.
That was fun.
I know I slated it on the PlayStation conversion, but the arcade version is really good.
Yeah. How about Cruising USA?
I liked it on the arcade, but I don't know why, because I played it on a Nintendo 64, and it's shit.
That's very, very true. So definitely a lot of good little racing games. So practically, I think what we've spoken about so far, if it ain't done by Konami, Namco, or Sega, then it ain't worth playing.
Whoa!
And possibly Capcom.
Data East.
Yeah, true. Data East did have a lot. You look at some of the old school scrolling fighters. Double Dragon, great little game. Yeah. So that's 2.5D. Final Fight. We don't need to talk about Final Fight. Final Fight speaks for itself.
Yeah, Final Fight's pretty good. Double Dragon's the best, though, I think, out of them. Then you've got Konami's Vendetta, which is Prime Fighters 2. Prime Fighters, the first one, I think is crap. You know, I wouldn't even bother with that. Vendetta's really good. 4-player at the same time. Turtles and that. That's the only one I've actually played from back in the day with 4 people playing it. I mean, I know, like, we played 4-player Simpsons, didn't we?
Yeah. That was great fun, but Turtles was when I saw that and I saw it's like 4 players. Wow, yeah, we'll give it some of this, and that was just absolutely brilliant. What else? Gauntlet for 4 players.
Gauntlet's
as well.
Superb. When I was a kid, which I think the game's shit now, but I used to really like Quartet by Sega.
That's a very weird game, but.
At the time, though, playing it 4-player on the arcade was really good. And I like the Commodore 64 conversion. That got completely slated. Well, I think all the conversions of that got slated.
Well, it just seems Sega were just a little unlucky with who they handed the conversion rights
Activision.
To, wasn't it? but the thing is, if you look back in the day, Activision made decent home ports.
Some of their ones were good. Wonder Boy was really good.
Exactly.
What else did they do? They did Carnov. That was terrible. I think them and Electronic Dreams did Carnov, and Carnov were terrible.
Oh, did you play the Carnov arcade machine?
Yeah, because I could tell you a story about that. That local shop when we were kids, they had Double Dragon. Double Dragon done really, really well in there. You know, there was massive queues to play on that. And I used to hang out in the shop on that when I weren't at school and stuff, because I used to know the guy whose family it belonged to. And one day, someone come in and they were going to change the game, and I don't know why, because it was still making money. You know, that's one of the first games of 20p a go. So I watched the guy change the jammer board for Carnov. And when we first started playing it, people didn't like it. People thought it was shit, because it's incredibly hard, even to this day.
It's really
hard.
That's
probably one of the hardest games ever.
Tell you another one for Data East, Bad Dudes vs. Dragon.
Yeah, I really like that. They're supposed to be George Michael, aren't they?
Yeah, I really can't see how.
Well, he didn't come out then, did he?
No, nobody knew he was gay at that point.
Because then we saw the Data East. Oh, that George Michael looks a hard fucker, don't he? And then later on, they must have thought, shit, we didn't know.
Okay. Well, he did come out to the 90s, didn't he? So I think Dragon Ninja was about 88, weren't it?
Yeah,
I think
it was around then. WAM with the other very talented Andrew Ridgely. If you listen carefully, you can almost hear him on some of the songs.
Yeah, almost. You have to have hearing, being able to hear a pin drop at a million miles away. What other sort of little scrolling fighting games? Oh, the Dungeons & Dragons games that just got re-released.
I've never played them. I've seen the cabinet. It's huge. Same as I think the biggest cabinet for something like that, which I don't think is a very good game, to be fair, is Konami's X-Men.
I find X-Men okay.
The cabinet is massive. I think it's eight player or six.
Six. Yeah, there was three versions, 2-player, 4-player, and 6-player, and the 6-player version went on 2 screens.
Yeah, that's the one I've seen. And speaking of that, having a lot of screens, Ninja Warriors was the first one I've seen with 3 screens.
Yeah, I just found the 3 screens on that game just so completely unnecessary.
Well, a lot of the times with it, one of the screens would sort of start dying and be really, like, faded compared to the other ones.
But as long as the middle screen didn't go out, you're fine.
Yeah, I mean, if I get another couple of monitors, which I may do in the future, I may try doing the same sort of thing, because you can actually do that with main, can't you?
You're going to do it proper job, are you?
Because my graphics card will actually support being linked to 3 monitors.
Nice. I try to think of what else. What about Chase HQ as well?
Chase HQ was, people rate it, I really don't. I never thought that much to it. I've actually played, in 1995, I went to a place called Morecambe, which is near Blackpool, and I played a sit-down version with hydraulics of Chase HQ, which I didn't know even existed, and it is a lot better like that.
Yeah, it's amazing what you find out.
In fact, I found a game there that people don't believe me, and I don't think there's any information, and it's not emulated. Parasol Stars by Tato, which is a sequel to Bubble Bobble and Rainbow Islands.
Apparently, they keep saying that there is no arcade version.
There was one. I played it.
They must have made one board and deposited it in the UK. So if anybody does have that board, please give it to the main dumping union, will you? We want to play that game somewhat. What other games stood out? Because I'm currently avoiding fighting games because I think that will be the big finale on that one.
They are actually my favourites, but I can remember stood out. Grisor, I really like that, or as it's known as, better known, Contra.
Yeah.
I've played that in a corner shop, but it was in Japanese, so I couldn't tell what the title was, because it comes up actually in Japanese. I think the Japanese title is actually Grisor. I might be wrong.
No,
or Contra, or something stupid.
Yeah. Either which way, it's a stupid name for a game.
Yeah, we played that, and I played it somewhere else, and it was called Contra. And I had an argument with someone that it was the same game. They wouldn't have none of it. But obviously I'm right, because it is. Grisor version is only one player at a time, whereas the Contra one is two players simultaneous. Because on Grisor, if you have Lance and Bill, when Bill dies, Lance comes on. You can't play at the same time.
Yeah, and even so with that one, it still doesn't make it any easier if you've got two people. In fact, they probably makes it bloody harder.
I'll clear that. Easy. Me and my little brother did that two-player one day. It's only got about 4 levels or something.
What about Hypersports?
Yeah, I love that. Hypersports, track and field. One that's leaked, because where I used to live, I used to have my arcade in the kitchen. And when we used to have parties sometimes, you know, have a barbecue and that, we used to always play loads of those games. In fact, I think it may still have the records on my old computer, you know, because it saves the high scores and records for Hypersports and that.
Yeah.
And the other game we used to play a lot, which I don't know whether it's a known of. I know it was converted. But I don't know whether you would have played it. Combat School.
Yes, I did play Combat School. Combat School was awesome.
It was trackball as well on the arcade.
Yeah, that was Hypersports for men. that's what that one was, how I see it. But no, Combat School did a good differentiation. It did something a little different, especially with the shooting and various other
things. You go on a mission, don't you? And you kick every terrorist in the balls. That's what he does, kicks them in the balls.
That sounds like good. Well, did you ever play Newman Athletics?
I've seen it. I've never played it. I've seen it at the time in Skegness, actually. And I never played it because they had this other machine, which I'd love to see one of them again, Arm Champs 2. You can emulate that on mine, but obviously it doesn't make it any good. And that's got the gimmick of it's an arm wrestling game.
Yeah.
It's got an actual arm and your arm. And I could complete that even on the hardest back in the day. And then in an arcade, this was like when I was about 17 or 18, in an arcade near there, I found Arm Champs 1, put it on the hardest, couldn't beat it at all, couldn't even beat it on the easiest. It was like impossible.
Well, you said about Sonic Blastman as well, the one we had to punch there at that
thing.
Yeah,
I really like that as well.
Yeah, so there's a lot of good proactive ones. I know the one that I like, which everyone disses me for, the dancing stage games. Love it. Because it's just, you get to see who has coordination.
As much as I take the piss on that, I used to have the dance mat and have them on the PlayStation.
I still have them now. I know they're emulated.
You can get dance mats for the PC, can't you?
Yeah, I know you can.
They light up and everything.
I'm very tempted to, so because they are emulated and apparently they are working at a good speed, so hell, why not?
Well, you could even run them on the PlayStation emulator for the ones that are on that, because they are pretty much like as good as the arcade anyway. Because to be fair, they don't use, or they're not really that graphically of that quality, are they, anyway?
Yeah, when they started using the 3D models, then it was...
I think they're on the PS2, some of them.
Yeah. Yeah, some of them. They started on the PS1. I think they released a couple on the PS3. Hmm. You have to go mooching around for that one.
Yeah, they're not bad games, I suppose, for what they are, but they are a bit like, wow. I don't know, they're not really something I'd play a lot, and they're more modern ones. Well, I say more modern, not now. But, you know, some of the ones, when the arcades were about dead, they started releasing loads of them, and you're always guaranteed to find them somewhere.
Oh, yeah, that's very, very true. I'll tell you one thing, like that Bishy Bashy special. That's a great game,
I've never played it. That was on the PlayStation Store, PS1 version, and I've never downloaded it, but I've seen you playing it.
Yeah, where is it, Trog? Yeah, that game is crazy. That's just typical Japanese madness. Three buttons, perfection. It's just a fun... If you've got all three people playing, it's fun as hell. It really, really is. They released a version as well which contained babies at some point, and you're sitting there making babies sprint and catapulting babies. I like, figure it's like, yeah, this is Japanese. Only they're insane enough to do something like this.
Yeah, they do those stupid things, don't they?
Yeah. Well, come on, you've seen it. You look in MAME, you've seen the amount of pornographic Mahjong games there are.
And that one, Gal's Panic. Yeah, I played that.
Yeah.
It's like one of them painter ones where you draw the screen in, and you draw it in, and you get some like Japanese bird. And then you get so far across, and if you hit something, it'll go change, and it'll change you into, like, an old dragon or something.
Yeah.
Like, or an old witch, or...
Yeah, just when I'm enjoying myself.
And then, change back. And then if you do so much of them, obviously, they get more and more naked, and that. And they are, like, I don't know. I played it on the arcade years ago, but I suppose they're more for, like, perverts and that, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
They're not even particularly that good games.
No, Japan's laden with them, trust me. Perverts, that is. I remember the thrill of playing the original Pac-Man, though. That was just fun, sitting there playing the original. Dig Dug, I managed to play on the original as well.
Yeah, I played both of them. I played, out of really old games, Centipede, Donkey Kong. Well,
I played both.
Not the official Donkey Kong. It was more of the Crazy Kong. Which is probably bootleg of it, ain't it? On Galaxian hardware, so it's in stupid colours and that.
Yeah, the one thing I've always wondered with Donkey Kong 3, though, why are you sitting there spraying stuff up his arse? Seriously.
I've never seen it actually on the arcade. I've only seen it since, on one of them...
Will did the video as well.
Will did the video, but my brother had one of these, like, knock-off controllers. Looked like a Nintendo 64 joypad. You plug it into the telly, it's like the NES on a chip, basically. A Famiclone, I think they call them.
Yeah.
And that had it on there. That's the first time I ever played it. And I thought, this is shit. This ain't nothing like Donkey Kong.
No, the third one was rubbish. And I was sitting there, was like, why am I... I was like, why am I bug spraying Donkey Kong up the arse? Seriously. But as times went on, it was like, you could see how technology was changing. Some games still maintained quite a lot. So I was like, Street Fighter was still very, very popular, even after the 3D games started kicking in.
Yeah,
When Tekken came along, I was like, wow, this is something else.
Yeah, I was really impressed with the first Tekken. I played that in 1995, because previous before then, I'd only ever played Virtua Fighter 1, which looks a mess.
Virtua Fighter was horrible.
I mean, impressive, like, at the time it was.
No, I never liked Virtua Fighter.
Virtua Racing as well, that was impressive as well.
Oh, Virtual Racer. If it came to Sega's fighting games, Fighting Vipers was the
yeah,
one
I
liked.
Like that. I've got it on. It's been released not so long ago on
360
and PS3. Yeah, I used to have it on the Sega Saturn. I've never played the arcade one, believe it or not.
It's pretty much the same. There's not much difference between the two.
No.
Which is a good thing when it comes to that. Mind you, my first experience on Dead or Alive was from the arcade, so that was the first time
right.
I played that.
I never played it till the PlayStation port, which, believe it or not, the Saturn port of it is actually better than the PlayStation one.
Well, I think Temco were in cahoots with Sega at that time.
Yeah,
so.
They never released that in the UK though, for some stupid reason. It's only on Japanese.
No, they did. I had Dead or Alive on the PlayStation.
No, I mean on the Sega Saturn. Yeah, they only released it in Japan.
Oh, that's true. But I tell you what, I don't like football, but Virtua Striker by Sega was always good.
I've seen the second one, and I was really impressed with the graphics on it.
Yeah, that is still a good football game even now.
Yeah.
Sega balanced that off so well. You put your money in, and you got a good football game for your time.
There's a couple of football games I like, believe it or not. I like Virtua Striker 2. I've never played the first one. I don't think I've seen it. Soccer Brawl by SNK.
SNK. SNK were pretty dominant in the console. Not the console, the arcade era. So.
Well, they did have the console, obviously, didn't they? But it was because the console was like 400 quid, and then the games were about 150 quid each anyway.
Oh, that is very true. But so many good there, so many good shoot 'em ups.
Yeah.
As well. I'm trying to remember. Scrolling shooters, Shock Troopers was really good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That was really, really good. Really, really good game. But of course, it all boiled down to the fighters in the long run.
Yeah.
That's where it came
well,
in.
Well, they're the first games sort of that I've really liked in the arcade, because like we've talked about that before, haven't we? First one ever was Karate Champ, or Data East, that used two joysticks. You play it now, I don't think it looks that bad. I mean, it's playable. It's more, I suppose, complicated because of the control system.
Mm. Well, what about when you first saw Mortal Kombat? I know when I first saw that, and some guy was being Sub-Zero and he tore someone's head off. I was like 8 or 9 years old. I was like, wow, that was awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was excellent. I did think it was good, but that wasn't the first game like that I'd seen. The first one I'd seen was, I think it's by Strato and Interesting Technologies, Time Killers. Where you can literally rip their arms and the head off. And I was really impressed with that, because obviously I used to like horror films and that when I was a kid. And I seen that and I was like, oh, this is fucking brilliant. And I don't think it got converted, or the conversions didn't come out over here. There is a conversion on the Mega Drive and the SNES, I think.
It's the funniest thing. You notice the arcade owners didn't give a rat's ass if kids were playing Mortal Kombat and
things
like that.
That's what I mean. The first game ever like that was Splatterhouse. That had more violence in, and yeah, they didn't care because it made a lot of money because kids liked it, so they didn't give a fuck.
I think it's also the benefit because they knew a lot of these kids wouldn't work out the fatality moves anyway. So.
No.
And back in the days of the arcades, we didn't have an open resource to get hold of the fatality moves. A lot of it was just guesswork.
And originally, and then when the conversions come out, you know, your SNES and your Mega Drive ones and that. You had to wait until the magazines printed them out, you know, the moves list, because the instructions didn't tell you.
Yeah, that's very, very true. I'll tell you what. I remember playing Primal Rage on the arcade, and that was on a really big screen, and that was impressive. And then when I saw the home ports, I was like, bleh.
I've never played the arcade version. I've only ever seen, believe it or not, the PlayStation 1 version of it, and it's shit on that.
Yeah, it's awful. The PlayStation should have easily been able to handle that.
Yeah, you
that
would
arcade.
Think so. Yeah.
Hmm. I'm trying to remember out. And like I say, we're trying to think of any other strange little fighters that came out which people may have missed that were actually good. Wait, were you looking at World Heroes as well?
Yeah, they're pretty good. I mean, I played that when I was about 16, actually. That's pretty good, I suppose. Because what it was is SNK obviously wanted Street Fighter 2 on the Neo Geo, and Capcom weren't going to let them, so they just got other companies to basically try and rip it off.
Oh, it's true, but a lot of people, I'd say World Heroes is a classic. It's cheap as hell.
Yeah.
With some of the moves, things like, but it's a good all rounder. What was the other one I played? Kazuna, I think it was Kazuna Encounter. That was the first proper sort of tag style game which SNK did.
Oh, I've never played that.
Yeah, I think it was either Kazuna Encounter or Savage Reign was the first one. Yeah, I believe it was Kazuna Encounter. That was it used some of the characters from Savage Reign. But it actually has a proper tag system, and as per all SNK, has a really cheap freaking boss on it as well. So
I think the only game that they did, the World Heroes games aren't impossible to complete. They're difficult.
No, they're not.
World Heroes 2 is probably the best out of all them, I think, and that's got really difficult, the last bosses on that. But you know, they're not as cheap as say
Rugal from
King of Fighters, and Art of Fighting's cheap. And then the later sequels to Fatal Fury, like Fatal Fury 2 and Special, and then, you know, Real Bout and all them, they get ridiculous on them as well.
I know, but Real Bout is good. Real Bout is good,
it is,
solid fight.
I think the only one that is really easy to do, though, is the first Fatal Fury. You're supposed to do that on one credit.
Mm.
I can't now.
Was there any other game you ever finished on one credit?
In the arcade. I'm trying to think.
So I can tell you mine. The one game I finished on one credit, which is a surprise, was Time Crisis 2.
No, which one was it I used to play? I'm trying to think which ones I could do on one credit. I could do Double Dragon on one credit, but not at the time. I mean, I can now.
Yeah. But, no, with me and my mate, we was skiving off from college. And we said, like, we're down the bowling alley. We said, oh, should we go play Time Crisis 2? It's like, yeah, fair enough. So we put one credit in. And we got so focused attention, we went through the whole game on one credit. We was like, well, and literally, we had people behind us, yeah, go on, cheering us on. And I was like, wow, this is actually freaking awesome. And like that, and because of the spurring onwards and things like that, it kind of really focused us to actually carry on. So I think when you do get people cheering you when they're watching, you do perform better because you don't want to let these people down. Yeah, they're cheering on, they're seeing you playing a good game. You just really don't, you put that extra bit in just to make sure. So I was like, yeah, come on, I don't want to show myself up now. It's a part of the mind. It really must be.
The only time I've ever actually had, like, I suppose loads of people watching is when we first started playing Street Fighter 2. Because I've had people, like, say, oh, I'm not playing him, he knows I did the special moves. And all this, and I used to be able to stay on the Street Fighter 2 arcade machine for ages. In the end, I'll get bored and lose on purpose.
Yeah, with me, I was never any really good at Street Fighter back in the day. I really did suck at it.
It depends as well on what the cabinet's like. Because some places, like, you'd get it, and I swear they'd only put a four-way joystick in. So it was impossible to do all the special moves on that. And completely ruin the game.
It's called cheap shot in the public.
First time I ever played Robocop at the fair, they had that on the arcade, yeah, and the joystick for that wouldn't go diagonally. So you know the bit where you get your gun out, you have to shoot people out the window, you can't do it. So it completely ruins the game and makes it too hard.
Oh, true. And can you think of any other machines that you can remember from back then? The Aliens arcade machine was really good. That was really, really good. I put a lot of money in that one.
It's superb. I'd say that's probably one of the... That and RoboCop, and I'm trying to think of other ones. But those two definitely stand out for, you know, movie licenses, where they are actually do it, like, a lot of justice and...
Yeah, I don't think there was a lot of games based on movie licenses that were actually arcade machines. But... And Dragon's Lair don't count.
No, that's not a movie, is it?
No, it's not. Practically, it is if you know how to play the game. But that's just some of the ones I can really remember, and they're the ones that really stuck out. I lost so much money in my life thanks to arcade. I think you're probably the same.
Oh yeah,
you?
Definitely. I mean, it's something that it's gone now, unfortunately, and they're really hard to find. I mean, I dare say there is places that have still got them to a degree, but whether they're in working order or you know, more collectors than that's got them. And more, I think a lot of them get shipped to other countries when we got sick of them. Places got sick of them. Say, like Blackpool used to be full of them.
Yeah.
Now, I would imagine that's pretty much dead, because when we went in 1995, when we was on holiday in Morecambe, we took the train to Blackpool, and it had hardly any arcades then. And that was in 1995. Yeah. It was mainly Neo Geo machines and that, more than anything. And the place used to be fucking full of them, like thousands of arcade games. Yeah. That's more gamblers than Neo Geos. Well, I would say now, I mean, in 1995 it was.
Yeah, it's a shame now, because the arcade used to be a big community sort of thing, and it used to be a massive sort of place to get together and just play random people. And usually you'll find that 90% of the time that it's usually well-mannered, and it's a very nice place to play. You'd enjoy playing with other people, and it was friendly, but unfortunately, due to the decline of the arcades and just generally people not playing, it's gone now.
Well, I think what it is because they were getting so expensive, weren't they? The games, and you know, there was just like the home consoles and computers were getting more and more powerful, so games on them would be able to, you know, beat the arcade basically. I remember going to the fair in the 90s, and all the games at the fair was like old and, you know, out of date compared to what was on a PlayStation 1, even.
Yeah.
Which was a shame.
It's true. But lucky enough, thanks to MAME, the memories live on.
Oh, yeah.
And because, like I say, you've built your own custom arcade machines.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a custom arcade machine. It won't ever truly die.
No. But, I mean, a lot of the games as well weren't just in arcades. They was in, like, corner shops, taxi ranks.
You'd always find something
anywhere, pretty much. You know, video shops. There's a lot of video shops that done really well just because kids used to go in to play the arcades.
Yeah. It's just a shame to see so many fruit machines and things like this. It's like you're turning people into gambler's paradise, seriously.
Oh, I've never really played a fruit machine that much. I mean, I've had a go. I used to have a mate, actually, that had the shop around that was near it. It wasn't a corner shop. It was a little, you know, really small shop. And he used to have a fruit machine. And this was, like, back in the 80s. I don't know if he's still got it. But what's the point in playing it when you can just get the money out of it anyway?
I think it's a matter of skill, isn't it? There is a certain thing of skill to fruit machines.
And he was even on about it himself, because I think it was his dad's, I'm not sure. And he said, oh, I wish you'd get rid of it and we could get Double Dragon or something instead.
That would be awesome. Yeah. But like I say, I remember when I was a kid, I wanted an arcade machine. I didn't care which one, I wanted an arcade machine in my room.
Oh, yeah,
but back then it was just a dream. But today, it's a very major reality.
Yeah.
It can be done so easily.
Well, there's a number of ways you can do it. You can either build your own cabinet, or which is probably not as expensive as you think. I think for all the actual, because it's only MDF.
Yeah.
Basically, because most of the arcade cabinets were, you know, MDF or something anyway. They weren't actually like made out of fucking oak or something like people seem to think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think the old
the mega rod ones may well have been.
Yeah, the tabletop ones, they definitely were. They weren't cheap.
Oh, yeah, they was decent quality. I seen one of them recently, well, say recently, a couple of years back now, in a nightclub, and I was amazed how small it was. Because obviously when I used to play on them, because they disappeared before anything, didn't they?
Yeah, they had certain class to them, didn't they?
Yeah.
They just felt classy.
Yeah, because they disappeared, like, in the early 80s. You know, you stopped getting them by about 87 or something, there were none of them anymore. You know, I've never seen them anywhere, whereas I used to have them everywhere. You know, mainly Donkey Kong, Space Invaders, Galaxian, you know, the more older games.
I saw some of the old Atari football games on there. And I even saw Super Sprint on one of them, so.
Did?
I saw Super Sprint on one.
I've seen the arcade machine of Super Sprint, which was really big. They had it at the fair for ages, you know, years. And it's got three steering wheels on it.
Yeah, apparently there's an 8-player one of those as well. So
I've never seen that.
Yeah, I like to know how they work that one out.
But yeah, like I was saying, I was amazed how small the actual cocktail cabinets are. They're literally not even 3 foot from the ground, I don't think, really small. Because I stood and I was like, I said to my mate, fucking hell, I'm amazed how small that was. I remember them being much bigger than that. And he says, yeah, but when you used to play them, you was probably about 7 or 8 years old. And obviously you was a little child. Not a full-grown man, because I'm, you know, 6'2" now.
Yeah, so that's very true.
I was a lot smaller when I used to play them then. Because I was thinking of making one, I still might. You can actually get the kit for them, can't you? I think it's well,
cut, where is it
about
now?
300 quid or something. But then you need the reinforced glass for it, because obviously they had like proper, you know, strong security. I think it's scratch proof as well.
Yeah, well, get some perspex.
That's the thing. If you're building a cabinet, it's the hardest thing to cut, actually, believe it or not, because if you cut it with a saw, it usually is a nightmare going through, and it leaves it all jagged and shitty. Yeah. If you use a jigsaw, it mounts the fucker. If you use a Stanley knife, you've got to slash it a million and one times before it will go through, and then you're guaranteed to mess it up, I suppose. I don't know, you know, there's got to be a good tool for cutting it. But if you go to, like, your B&Q or other places, you know, home base, to get it from there, you'd think...
They could probably cut it for you.
No, you'd think it was made out of fucking asbestos. Because you ask them to cut it, no, we won't touch that, we're not allowed to cut it, and all this. And I'm like, why? You got a bandsaw there, surely that can cut it.
Well, it's like that, or I'd probably go see a glazer. They might be able to do it.
They might well do, I don't know. I don't know any glazers.
Well, there you go, people. Apparently, I think that's...
Oh, sorry, are we going to round the shot then?
Yeah, I was going to round up then.
Yeah, just like hell. An hour and
we're over an hour. Yeah, we're over an hour. Well then, guys, that's... a lot of our memories, remembering a lot of the games we used to play when we was young. I feel sorry for the new generation, mate, because they're missing out on something. They really are.
Yeah, definitely.
So, if you could find a place like Malt said at the start of the show that that still does old arcades, if you're one of these new modern day gamers, go and play something else. Go find out where your gaming came from. And I reckon you won't be disappointed.
No,
if you really ask me.
That's true.
Yeah. So that's all good. Right. That's the end of the show, people. just want to give you a reminder. If you want to come check the site out, pay a visit to us at www.rmifusion.com. We've now opened our film section, and we've now opened our anime and tokusatsu parts, so we'll be reviewing more stuff. And we're also planning a site rehash over. We're still trying to find a template that looks good, so hopefully we'll have a site that looks better than what it does at the moment. So yeah, please sign up, join up to get hold of our newer content, because if you're not a member, then you don't get hold of the latest two months of content. So sign in, people. Help us grow to 50 users before the new year, and I think over, and then we'll carry on making lots of good stuff. Right, anything else, Malk?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I reckon we could have done another episode of this, because there's so many things when you listen back to it that you missed, you know, talking about, because obviously there's so many arcade games, there's thousands of them. And
oh yeah, definitely true.
There's loads, you know, that we haven't got around to talking about, or because obviously we don't, like, you know, pre-write what we're going to do or anything, so...
Yeah, you know what we need? In-depth podcasts.
Yeah.
Coming soon, people. me and Malk will come back to this one.
Yeah, definitely.
We mentioned a lot of games. So what we'll do, we'll go into more depth on the games that we mentioned.
And the thing is, we can't actually do this show, really, with including anyone else, because they're all too young.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like we're in our 30s, and the rest of the team are in their 20s. So.
Exactly.
So if anything for their choices, they'll be going for something, the more modern stuff. Okay then, right. Well, that's all, folks. Hope to catch us again in a fortnight. Which will be our last podcast before our September break. Hopefully, we'll have Will and Andrew doing something on a subject. So the A team are coming in, and I think they were talking about something to do with the original Mario Brothers game, wasn't it?
Yeah,
because the 30th anniversary is turning up. And there won't be a podcast in September because we're having a month off. Main fact is that me and Andrew are in Holland, and probably Malcolm will probably be dying of dehydration in Britain. Okay, so that's a big goodbye from me.
Yeah, and it's bye from me. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, people. Bye-bye.